welcome back to another edition of The Sportsman. We missed him. We love him. And I know you do too. Mikey V is back after a couple of weeks off. We got him back. Round of applause, Joseph. That's fantastic. Woo. We missed him, and here he is. And as always, we got Joseph down there. You got me up here. And boys, as Mikey V just said, NFL is back. Mikey V, want to walk us through some of the things that are going on with contracts, with teams, people moving around, people getting paid? What's going on, Mikey?
Well, you know, the first is this uprising of the running backs in the NFL. You know, you have your Josh Jacobs of the world, your Saquon Barkley's of the world. These guys who, you know, they're threatening to sit out. They don't want to play under the franchise tag. And now Saquon gets the one-year deal from the Giants, you know, worth up to $11 million, I believe, with, you know, $1 million guarantee or $2 million signing bonus.
$2 million. He didn't make that much more money than what his initial franchise tag would have been, though. It's like $2 million more.
The $2 million is big, though, because he gets it right off the bat.
Yeah,
so,
he doesn't have to wait.
But here's the thing is that these guys, these running backs, and I understand they're all coming together, you know, the running back from Los Angeles Chargers as well, Austin Eckler, kind of, he's outspoken about it as well. But here's my thing is that this position is being phased. It's never going to be phased out. It's a critical position. I'm not arguing at all. It's not a critical position. You have to have a running back. It's essential in the NFL. You have to have some semblance of a running game, but the teams have cracked the code on running backs. These teams have cracked the code. You bring in a guy on a rookie contract, you run him into the ground, you run him until the wheels fall off, and then you cut bait and you go to the next rookie. And these rookies come in, and the translation for a running back as a rookie, if sometimes the blocking can be an issue, the blocking schemes can be an issue, but good offensive coordinators could kind of mask that with a veteran running back on pass packages. They could kind of mask that with tight ends. They can mask it with fullbacks. But these rookie running backs translate very quickly to the NFL. You saw what Kenneth Walker did in Seattle last year. You see what these rookie running backs do coming year after year. You know, Bijan Robinson is projected to have a huge year in Atlanta this year.
Yeah.
This is the formula now. The days of paying these running backs the highest salaries is over. It's over. And I get it that it sucks, especially like these running backs. We're born in a generation watching a lot of those running backs of yesteryear who are still getting massive contracts, who are still the most important players on the field still. But now the game has changed and it's evolved, and it's all about rushing the passer, a lockdown corner, an anchor left tackle, and a quarterback, and the pass catchers. And that's why the league is so deep with wide receivers. That's why quarterbacks get paid the most money. Edge rushers get paid the most money, corners get paid the most money, and tackles get paid the most money. Those are the premium ultra positions. And running back is like at the bottom of the pecking order right now. It's towards the bottom of the, and it just is what it is. And I don't care what they do. They could pick it. They could do a sit-in. They could get little signs. It's not going to matter. These teams are going to be happy with what they got.
I agree with you for the most part, but in Saquon's situation, I disagree because they had no wide receivers last year. They didn't have a passing game. He was literally, I would say, 70% of the offense. He was catching balls out of the backfield. Daniel Jones got paid to be in a position where he's not an elite quarterback. Let's just call it for what it is. He's not. And it's got to piss the living hell out of a guy like Saquon who's going out there. I remember the game against the Packers in London at Wembley. He single-handedly won them that game. And not to say the defense played well too, but I'm saying on offense. And to watch a guy like Daniel Jones, who's a mid-tier quarterback for what it is at best, be paid like handsomely, and then to not get what he thinks is a fair shake, that's got to be a kick to the teeth a little bit. Now, I understand in other situations, there's a rotation of players, but I think every case is different. You look at another guy, you look at Derrick Henry. How many years has he been the focal point of that offense, Mikey V, where you have a substandard quarterback who's being overpaid and who doesn't have, I mean, he lost AJ Brown last year, so he didn't have a top tier, you know, wide receiver. You rely heavily on the running game. So it's tough because everyone else, the price is going up and the running back, the price is going down. And it's, I don't disagree with you, but I think in the situation with Saquon, I think he was such a big part of that offense for the last year and a half, 2 years that he's been healthy, that it's a little bit of a different situation. The Josh Jacobs situation, he had an unbelievable year last year, but it was a contract year. How many years was he shitty before that? You know, so, and you've seen that so many times. You look at in the past, you look at a guy like Chris Johnson got paid after his big year where he amassed 2,000 yards rushing. And then the next 2-3 years, where was he? He was nowhere to be seen. So it's tough, man. And I think it's a case-by-case situation. I do think Saquon deserves to get paid if he stays with the Giants. But I overall, I agree with Mikey V in the position that, you know, you can rotate running backs. You can have multiple running back sets. And, you know, and now even with tight ends are playing a bigger focal point in the passing games and stuff. I don't know, man.
There is certainly an upper echelon handful of guys that are different types of. Christian McCaffrey, for example, is a different type of. He's not a between the tackles, pound him running back. And Saquon isn't either. Saquon is a special talent. There's no question about that. But the market, the overall market for the position is just not going to demand that kind of money anymore. It's just these teams are not, would rather sink that kind of guaranteed long-term money into other positions that are of a greater premium now in today's NFL. And that's not a knock against Saquon. It's not a knock against guys who play running back at all. And that's, I was prefacing my whole first statement with that. Not a knock on any of these guys. They're always going to be needed. But the teams have figured out, and this, as we know, is a very harsh business, the NFL. The teams have figured out, hey, guess what? Ezekiel Elliott, the Cowboys made a very mistake. But they ran him into the ground, and he was outstanding his rookie year. He was outstanding his first couple of years. But they ran him into the ground. They made a mistake. Now they cut ties with him. Teams are all taking note of that stuff. Henry is starting to break down a little bit. You talked about Derrick Henry. Of course, he was a stud for a very good stretch of time. But that window on him, in my opinion now, it's not that I'm saying he's not going to have a decent year, but I would be very weary of drafting, leery of drafting Derrick Henry in a fantasy draft this year. I just would be, because not to say you can't get him at a decent value, but to overdraft him, you know, that body has seen so many carries and he's such a big guy to begin with. That position gets hit so much. Like, it's just a position that takes such a pounding, a beating, that body's going to start breaking down.
Mikey, would you rather, it's just one last point, Tick, and then I'll let you take over. Mikey, would you rather pay a guy like Cole Kmet $50 million over 4 years? Or would you give a guy who's a superstar like Saquon extra money, you know, $15 million a year, you know, or up or closer? I think it's like, everyone else is getting paid so much more now. And then you see, like, I'm not talking about your average running back. I'm talking about even a guy like Dalvin Cook. The Vikings let him walk, and they're running with Madison. It's
Cook
just
is older. Cook is older. Again,
and he's got older. Injury
he's
issues.
He's got injury issues, yeah.
Yeah.
The Kmet deal, $50 million, like you said. Listen, he's
wild.
Fields.
Wild.
It's a lot of money.
Guys,
it really isn't though, guys. The guy was fourth in the league in touchdowns among tight ends last year on about less than half of the receptions that Travis Kelce got. He was fourth in the league in touchdowns. He was sixth in the league amongst all tight ends that caught at least 50 balls in yards per catch. Cole Kmet is 24 years old. He's on his stock is on the rise. I don't mind that at all. The Bears don't have a Saquon Barkley, so they weren't in a position where they're choosing to pay Kmet over a Barkley. If that had happened, I may have a different feeling about it, but I do think Kmet is an important piece for them, because you see how the drop-off in tight ends is in this league. There's the upper echelon, and then there's teams with guys you can't even name their starting tight end.
Is he a $50 million
upper tier
piece? Is he a $50 million piece?
Over 4 years, Tick, I think he is.
My point was, if tomorrow you had an opportunity to trade and sign Saquon for $60 million over 4 years, or you get Kyle Kmet $50 million over 4 years, You're telling me you would go with Kmet over Saquon Barkley?
No, it's a different decision that you have to. It's a different decision you're going to have to make.
What was my point?
I mean, listen though, I think that the Giants, and people may say they didn't, but I think the Giants definitely explored the trade market for Saquon Barkley.
I thought they were going to do a sign and trade type deal with him.
Me too. And yeah. I think that teams are deathly afraid to commit long-term to a guy who has already torn his ACL in the league, yeah. Right? He tore his ACL how many years ago in the league? He missed the whole season. I think, you know, and a position
he fucked his knee up too. He had a separate injury with his knee as well. He missed
ACL.
ACL.
Oh, but then the year before, what happened then?
He had another injury, not severe like that, but right. It kept him out of games all the time. It was, yeah. I think it was a hamstring or something in the leg or foot.
There were two seasons where he barely played.
Yeah, and that's I just think that teams are just so leery again about committing long term to a running back now. I just think that they are, you know, unless you know, I think the only guy right now who really is of a different caliber, and you saw, but again, the NFL is so difficult to just put in a nutshell, because what Saquon Barkley would do on the Chicago Bears is not what Saquon Barkley would do for a team like the San Francisco 49ers. And that's why the 49ers got aggressive and took Christian McCaffrey and went out and got aggressive and got him, because they knew in Kyle Shanahan's offense with Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, you know, Trent Williams at left tackle, all these great offensive pieces that they had there and the way that team was built, they knew that McCaffrey was just icing on the cake. Whereas a team like, I don't know, a team like the Browns, let's say, or even the Bears last year, they bring in Christian McCaffrey, like he's not ascending them to an NFC championship right away. It's so situational too. That's why I think it's hard to kind of pigeonhole exactly, you know, well, if he goes to this team, that's tough to say, because all these teams' rosters are built differently. Their philosophies are different. The coaching styles are different. So it depends. I think it really depends. But Saquon, listen, he got paid. I think now you'll see, it'll be interesting what kind of a year he has. He reports to camp. There's no more holdout drama. So I think in the end, both sides come out where they wanted to come out. Or he wouldn't have signed the deal. If he didn't like the deal, he wouldn't have signed it.
A running back's as good as his, for the most part, as good as his offensive line. And if you stuck Saquon Barkley or Christian McCaffrey on the Bears last year, I mean, you saw how Justin Fields.
Their line was terrible.
Yeah, exactly. Terrible. So they would have gotten anywhere. But, you know, what's going on with the running back? They sure could, man. Well, they got DeAndre Swift, so we'll see how that works
If Swift could stay healthy, he's got to stay healthy.
Yeah. What's going on with these running backs that you alluded to, Mike, is that it reminds me a lot of pitchers in baseball like 10, 15 years ago, how the school of thought was, let's get these workhorses. Let's get a Jared Weaver. Let's get a Mark Burley and a Justin Verlander, although he's like a standout. He's still going somehow. But most of these guys, let's pitch complete games. Let's give them 8 innings and just work them to the bone for about 4 years, and then they've got so many innings under their belt that their arm's done. They've blown out their arm. They can't do it anymore. And it seems like that's the new school of thought with these, and we'll get another pitcher because there's always people pitching. And it seems like that's the school of thought with running backs these days. It's a different game. There's some minutia to it that's a little different, but let's just run these guys into the ground. We'll never have to pay them that much because they'll be on rookie contracts. We'll burn them out. Maybe we can trade him at the right time if we see fit, but maybe not. And we'll just draft another one because there's so many guys coming out of college that are quality and we can just burn another one into the ground. It seems to be that they're just, it's a streaming league for running backs. And
Look what the Bears just did. They let arguably one of their more productive offensive players of the last 4 years walk. David Montgomery. They were not going to pay David
Montgomery. Yeah, but he was on the downswing, Mike TV. He was not as good.
Listen, I
that Joe, offensive I line that, stunk. Who knows?
I agree. But then you got guys coming in behind him. Khalil Herbert coming in, and this kid looked way better. That's my point, is that these teams are not going to commit.
Pollard looked way fucking better than Ezekiel.
Pollard has looked better than Elliott for how many years now? A couple of years. Pollard's looked better.
And I would say that they almost stuck with Elliott just despite the fact that they threw so much money on him, and it cost them
Amari Cooper. I mean, I'd rather have Amari Cooper paired up with CeeDee Lamb right now than have Zeke Elliott on the team last year.
Who would you say is unmistakably, like, as a running back, deserves every dime? I would say McCaffrey.
Nick Chubb. Yeah.
I would say Nick Chubb is up there.
Yeah, but those are the type of guys, those are the only ones that are going to get any consideration. Like a David Montgomery, and that's why when Bears fans were losing their minds that they let him walk, I was like, you know what? You bring in, they draft Bijan Robinson's backup from Texas, who I think is going to have a tremendous rookie year. They got Khalil Herbert. They got Deontay Foreman from Carolina. The running back room is the last thing. The running back room is fine. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to do it by committee. And I'm all for it because they're not sinking any money into a position that, quite frankly, you know, your running back takes one hit. He tears his ACL. There goes all the money you fucking sunk in him. Or he starts slowing down because you're giving him 25 carries a game and no team gives a running back 25. Excuse me, very few teams will give a running back 25 touches a game anymore. It just doesn't happen. Maybe in the playoffs, but let's get to the playoffs first.
The Bijan Robinson thing is very interesting because he's a rookie and he's, I think, the highest paid running back this year, or the second highest. He was number one.
It was him or Gibbs off the board first. So I think it was Bijan at eight, right?
But of all the running backs in the league, he's the highest paid guy between his contract and what he's making off the field. And it seems like you're going to have to take that more Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan route of, listen, you might only get 4 years and they'll run you into the ground, but use every dime of that to sign up with Subway, sign up with Adidas, sign up with Apple, every which way else other than the NFL. They'll give you a little bit.
If I'm Christian McCaffrey's agent, my argument to the guy across the table at the negotiating table would be, listen, my client is not a running back. My client is a hybrid running back wide receiver. Check how many catches, receptions this guy has a game compared to most starting receivers in the league. And I guarantee that number hovers around where most starting receivers are across the NFL. My client not only could do it lining up behind the quarterback, but he could split out wide. And that's got to be the kind of argument and approach I think these running backs, you know what, diversify, like Chappelle said in Wu-Tang in the Chappelle clip, diversify your bonds. You know what I'm saying? diversify the portfolio and make yourself a hybrid running back that can catch the ball out of the backfield. You cannot be a guy like Derrick Henry, who he's decent. Those guys, they don't profit anymore. Adrian Peterson, you have to be able to catch the ball out of the backfield.
Man. Yeah.
And that's what these guys should be working on. Become a hybrid player. You could run it. You could catch it. Those are the guys now that usually end up hanging around with teams longer. And Saquon's that kind of guy. And that's probably why, Joe, the Giants didn't just stomp their feet and say, you know what, fuck this. If he wants to sit out, we know he's not going to sit out once the actual season starts and lose game checks. No, they paid him. They gave him a deal. And like I said, if he didn't like the deal, he wouldn't have signed it. So obviously someone's in his ear saying, listen, this is as good as we're going to get right now. Go out this year, ball out, show them you're that hybrid, do-it-all, game-changing back. And then next year we'll see who bites on it. And you'll see what happens next year.
Yeah, well, let's shift the conversation from running backs to quarterbacks, because quarterbacks are getting a shitload of money each week as well. Justin Herbert signed the most recent contract. He's currently, right now, at 5:23 p.m. on the West Coast, is the highest paid quarterback. Won't stay that way for long with Joe Burrow, but what do you think of these quarterback contract negotiations, Mike? Do you think you should wait till, like, should Lamar have waited till Herbert got paid? Like, I want to see how do you think they should be going about that?
No, I think the Ravens made the right play. I think the Ravens couldn't wait for and Lamar wanted to get paid, obviously. He was bitching and moaning, trade me, all this. So Lamar was anxious to get paid. So I don't think it was a matter of Lamar wanting to wait it out. The Ravens had to make that play because, God, if they waited and then this deal came out, that would have been a real problem.
Well, now, but any quarterback, should any quarterback wait?
So I don't think they'll have to. If you're good enough or even somewhat good enough, because what has Justin Herbert done? No disrespect to Justin Herbert.
He's good, though, Mike.
He threw the most touchdowns for a rookie quarterback ever. I understand that. He throws touchdowns with regularity. He's got an elite arm. He can make any throw. I understand that. But the bottom line is he blew a lead on the road against Jacksonville in the playoffs. Has not won a playoff game yet. I'm not saying that he's not going to. He very well may. But I need to actually see him do it. Now, that being said, this is what I'm coming back to, is that these teams will not, these franchises, once they believe they have a quarterback who's even right on the cusp of being the guy, I'm not even saying they have to stamp their foot, win a playoff game, win a conference, win a Super Bowl, just be the guy, appear to be the guy. Kyler Murray gets paid a boatload of money. Jalen Hurts, but Jalen Hurts won a conference championship, very close to winning a Super Bowl, gets paid a boatload of money. But Jalen Hurts, to me, is deserving of it. Guys like Kyler Murray to me and Justin Herbert, and I'm not saying Herbert's not going to be great.
What about Don't Dak Prescott? Quote me on it.
You got to win playoff games. You got to show me you could win a playoff game. You got to take your team on a little bit of a run. That being said, I don't think quarterbacks are good. Not that they don't want a way ticket. I don't think they have to. These teams get so anxious to sign them because they don't want to even get to the point where they wait and then another team makes the first move and then their quarterback has a better season and wants to set the bar higher. Now, Cincinnati is totally fucked. Because Joe Burrow is going to be the highest paid football player ever. Yeah. He's going to be the highest paid football player ever. He's going to beat the Mahomes contract. He's going to beat the Herbert contract. Herbert's the highest paid quarterback now, and Burrow's going to trump it right away. And Herbert probably knows that. But if I'm Justin Herbert, I'm laughing all the way to the bank. Because again, Joe Burrow has been to back-to-back AFC championship games. Joe Burrow has beaten Pat Mahomes in fucking in Arrowhead Stadium to go to a Super Bowl.
He went to the Super Bowl, yeah.
I need to see Justin Herbert win a playoff game. I mean, listen, you may call
yeah, but you know what I will say,
fashion ticket, but Mikey, I want to see a guy win a playoff game. Sorry,
it's his third year in the NFL.
I get you
look at Peyton Manning, Joe.
I could make an argument that the Chargers roster is just as good offensively with
I would agree with that.
Keenan Allen, Jamar Williams, Austin Eckler,
Higgins.
I mean,
and Joe Mixon's not a
Austin Eckler, Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen. I mean, they've got very comparable offenses.
And I mean, on the defensive side, you had Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa, and the best safety in the league, Derwin James.
I'm saying though, you look at Herbert; he's 3 years into the league, like. Look at what did Peyton Manning do the first 2.5-3 years of his career? It's an adjustment period. And the guy threw for the most touchdown passes ever as a rookie. He's got the arm strength. He's a tough, gritty guy. I think he's going to be very successful. Now, I do understand what you're saying. I'm not disagreeing, but like, he's a young guy with a ton of promise. I understand why he's getting paid.
Now, again, this deal doesn't confuse me. This deal doesn't shock me. It doesn't surprise me at all. This is the way the quarterback market is. This is the way it is. Like I said, if you show that you even have the promise of being the guy, the franchise guy, no doubt, you're going to get paid. That's the way the NFL works. Same way that it is with running backs, and the negative is how it is with quarterbacks in the positive. And guess what? After Burrow, Trevor Lawrence is next up. And after Trevor Lawrence is going to be Justin Fields, unless he totally bombs this year. If Fields bombs again, it'll be out of the conversation. But Trevor Lawrence will be next up after Burrow. That's just the way it works now. You got to have a quarterback in this league. But that's not to say that you're not going to make a mistake. And right now it looks like Arizona is paying for the mistake they made with Kyler Murray. Now, to Arizona's benefit, they fleeced the Houston Texans out of so many draft picks that they're going to get. They're going to get Caleb Williams. They might get Marvin Harrison Jr. all in the same draft class. So they're going to be in excellent shape. But the Kyler Murray deal is just an example of these teams when they feel like they have the guy who's right on the cusp. Dak Prescott, to your point, Joe, they have to make a move because they're deathly afraid of that mark and that bar getting set higher and higher and higher if they wait.
I think the other thing too you need to look at is there's some teams that are in win now mode that have
100%, 100%.
They have the roster that they know they could go deep and that they can win. I think it's a much different story if you don't have that roster that you could afford to let your guy who's potentially the guy quarterback wise walk to another team and win. But if you're a Chargers, for example, you look at your roster top to bottom, like you said. They could win that division. They could go deep in the playoffs. Why would they risk losing Herbert to go to another team that could eventually, beat them out or something? They're trying to focus on winning a Super Bowl. And at the end of the day, if you win a Super Bowl, then all the naysayers, everybody, they're shut up. And you know what? You win your Super Bowl, you quiet everybody, you have your guy, and then you go on your merry way. So I think that's a big play.
And here's why they can't pay these guys ticket off of playoff merit. This is why they can't do that, because to Joe's point of what he just said, you have a guy like Justin Herbert. His rookie deal is going to be up. You have a guy like Trevor Lawrence. His rookie deal is going to be up in 2 years. Or 1 year, I'm sorry. You're certainly not going to let that guy hit the open market. But you don't want to make him the richest player in the history of the NFL, but you don't have any other option, really. You're kind of caught in a spot where you could either tag him and pay him a premium tagging him, and there's nothing precluding that in the next year you're going to be in the same dilemma and maybe somebody resets the market again, but you're not going to let them walk. You're certainly not going to let a guy like that just walk out the door of your building. Because to Joe's point, you're not going to let him go somewhere else and win. So what are you supposed to do at that point? It's either you bite the bullet now or you roll the dice and you take a major chance that nobody's going to give a mega contract deal to a quarterback in an offseason, which I don't remember the last offseason where a quarterback hasn't gotten a mega deal. So that's kind of the dilemma that these owners are in. And that's why it doesn't matter if you win a playoff game or not, really. Because you're still, if you're good and you're really good and you're breaking records and you're throwing a lot of touchdowns and you're lighting up the scoreboard and you're selling a lot of jerseys like Justin Herbert, he's the face of that franchise, you're not going to be allowed to walk out the door. You haven't won a playoff game, but the team has to do something to compensate you. And they probably did the right thing paying him now. They probably did the right thing. The only thing they could do.
If the narrative is that you're good and you've had a couple of at least pretty damn good years under your belt, you've got these owners by the balls. You're going to get paid.
100%. 100%.
You're going to get paid.
100%.
Yeah. 100%. Unfortunately. Joey D, you keep looking at your phone. What's going on down there?
No, I'm not looking at anything.
Might have a little action tonight. Could be an action tonight.
Could be an action play.
It's got to be a little action.
I see him looking down every second after he makes a point.
What do we have tonight, Joseph?
Cubs under.
Okay. That's fair.
Under what?
Nine.
Under nine.
Can I get a score, innings and score right now?
2-0 first inning. Not a good start.
Okay. No, it's not. But maybe things settle down now. The pitcher's got to settle in. Just like we're settling in, maybe the pitcher's
settling. I tell you who needs to settle in is the New York fucking Yankees, man. They need to start settling in. What the hell was that? Yankees catching a strike.
I was there last night. I was there last night. No energy in that stadium whatsoever. Mets fans showed out. Mets fans were so loud. Mets fans were fucking obnoxious. Obnoxious. And you know what? I don't give a shit. I really don't. I don't care that they were loud. The Yankees, there's nothing to cheer on about this team. Nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing to cheer about with this team.
Well,
you know,
when
the only thing you could get excited for as a Yankee fan is winning 3 games in a row against the Royals, when it took 27 web gems over 3 games to even win that series, it's not like they went out and beat the Royals 10-0 every night. It took 22 ESPN top 10 web gem plays each night for them to beat the fucking Kansas City Royals with a starting pitcher that has an ERA of 6 or 7, at least, each pitcher. Last night, they play a team with an actual pitcher with a pulse in Justin Verlander, and what happens? They don't score any runs for the first 5 innings of the game. They score 0 runs. Zero. 0 runs in the first half of the game. It was pathetic. It was flat. And then they give up back-to-back. Domingo Germán, and this is what we said weeks ago, Germán is so hot and cold, gives up a bomb to Alonso. Then
Alonso
2 innings later,
awesome.
Gives up another bomb to Alonso. But even worse, gives back-to-back and gives up a bomb to a guy in Daniel Vogelbach, who's looked like one of the worst players in the entire MLB. Shouldn't even be trotting out in an MLB lineup. This guy goes back-to-back moonshots. Just absolutely, this team, I don't want to waste any time on it.
That's why I was shocked, Mikey.
That's
why I was shocked at the only subs pick for the night that you went. With Justin Verlander on the mound,
it was 4.5 first 5 innings.
Correct.
Between both teams.
Correct.
Now, we started off with a run in the first inning. Perfect. A run at the top of the first. Very good. Then Alonso hits a 3-run bomb. It's now 4-0 Mets.
You're golden.
The third inning. Top of the third inning, it's 4-0 Mets. Now, of course, the Mets in the next inning, their 9-hitter doubles. and they got top of the lineup with a man on second, nobody out, and they strand the runner at third. The Yankees score zero runs.
Next inning, the sixth inning, they score two more.
They score all the runs. So you know what? That's a winning play in my book. I don't care what your balance says. That was a winning play.
Not if you check your balance.
The balance should be recuperated by Sepp Straka. The Sepp Straka pick should play out for at least a month.
That's a fantastic segue. Let's get into the Open, the British Open, the Open, whatever you want to call it. One of the most boring events I've ever seen, certainly through highlights working.
It really was one
of the very worst things I've ever seen. But Brian Harman, the world's champ.
The Waggle King.
Won by a lot.
That was terrible, man.
And it was atrocious. Let's start with your guys' thoughts on that, and then we'll get back into Sepp Straka and Mikey's play. But what do you guys – I mean, Mikey, did you watch the whole event? Me and Joe were working, so we were kind of catching
thoughts. Yeah, no, I mean, I caught bits and pieces when I could. I was obviously following along for gambling purposes. I hit Rom top five and the Straka pick. I wish I took Straka top five. I didn't have the balls. I took him top 10. Plus 1,100. If I took him top five, it was like plus 3,000. I should have just done that. But there was never any excitement. Harman, basically wire to wire after day two. Rom kind of made a little run there towards the end. I thought maybe he was going to, make a real run at it. But again, where was the juice? There was just no juice with it. Like the Masters, to me, again, out of all the majors, I thought the Masters was the best storyline between Rom and Koepka. And I still think that now that all the majors are wrapped up, I still think that's the case. I agree. I thought, like you guys said right off the bat, I just think, where was the juice? It just wasn't
good.
It
was awful, man.
It wasn't good.
There's two things that really led to the demise of this championship, this major, was A, the time difference, right? Nobody's watching, especially Mikey. Maybe on your end, you are Eastern time zone, so it was a little bit better.
We're Pacific
time zone. There are games going on. Players teeing off at 2, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. So you couple that first off is, it's very hard to watch it. We got up the last day, ticket, me and Jet were watching it on the final day. And it was like 7:30, 8 a.m. And like half the field was already coming in. It was almost finished. So I think that was a major detriment to the tournament. And then you said it too, Mikey. It was Brian Harman was in a commanding lead. There was never, ever that final round, any question that he was going to relinquish his stranglehold on the top spot. There was no real guy who made a push at the end to win. So that was the other thing. And then finally, Brian Harman is just a fucking boring guy to watch. I'm sorry. They were doing, and it's not often you see the guy who's about to win a major championship just getting dogged by commentators and by the program and the networks. They were doing waggle counters. It was really ridiculous. Trying to tee off and you're sitting there for a minute and he's just the same shit. It's like, bro, what are you doing? Congrats to him. Happy for him. He won the major. He won the Open. But I thought, if I'm being honest, this was probably the worst major championship I have watched in years. I was disinterested. I didn't give a fuck. I also had nothing on it, but it was just so bad. I just had no interest to get up at 5-6 in the morning. Given we were around the clock with the golf and stuff, but normally you get into the last round, you're like, I wonder who's gonna make a play. Maybe you look
call a spade a spade with the majors. Let's just call a spade a spade. If it's not close on the last day, the only major that really is like, no matter what, it just always hits is the Masters. The US
Open is normally pretty good too.
It is, but I just feel like the Masters never misses, Joe. I just feel
that's
like
true.
You could just, even as a non-golf guy, which I was for many years until I actually started to decide to play, and I wouldn't even still consider myself a golf guy, but someone who doesn't play and doesn't watch on a regular basis could sit there on Saturday and Sunday, especially Sunday, and watch the Masters no matter what the scorecard says and the leaderboard says, and watch the entire day and actually be thoroughly entertained, whether it's the mystique of Augusta, whether it's Jim Nance on the call, whether it's the old clips they're showing, the green jacket ceremony, whatever it is. I just feel like no other major hits like that. And then to compound it when it's a major where the time zone difference is wonky, where the guy who's in the lead, like you said, Joe, shows no signs of even relinquishing it to any extent. And it's not like a major name guy, really, Harmon. It's got nothing. It's got nothing.
It's also two piss poor majors in a row. I mean, the Open obviously was way worse. Yeah. But LACC US Open was pretty shitty itself. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's the location to blame. Yeah, that. But
Mikey V's right, though. Oh, I mean, there you get some years where all four are magic, or maybe some years where only three are magic, but the Masters is the only one that always slaps, and that's
because
Augusta fucks.
It's the first one. And also, it comes at you from all angles. Yes. I would make the claim that the app itself.
The Masters app. Yes.
The Masters app
is unbelievable.
The app
is very good.
You can lay in bed and on your phone watch a group play. In bed. It's so interactive. And it comes at you from all angles.
When we talked about the Masters on the Brilliantly Dumb Show, and you and Bob started going off about the app, and I downloaded the app, and then it started, and it was the first year I had the app. I was like, I thought it was just Joe being Joe, you know what I mean? And Joe gets so excited about shit, like I do. We're very similar in that regard. And I was looking at the app, and I'm like, yo, this app is unfucking believable. I go, this is unbelievable, this app. Then the best is when it's over, you just delete it, and then you download it next year. That's the best.
Oh, I don't delete it. I look forward to using that app. Does it automatically
renew for the next one, or is it? You don't have to re-download.
You might have to update it. I just leave it on.
I just leave it on there.
I think it's kind of cool to let it go, and then like it's exciting to download it again once the new one is
deleting. It feels dirty. It feels wrong to delete it. I won't do it. And also with this whole Brian Harmon thing, I think all of us were rooting for John Rahm or someone to catch him, track this fucker down. But no one was rooting harder for that to happen than the PGA itself. I mean, they don't run these majors, but it was just bad for golf in general. I mean, everyone head to ball golf everywhere was hoping this fucking guy would lose, because it's such a bad way to end the season. Obviously, there's more golf to be played. They have smaller tournaments. There's still more coming. There's Wyndham. There's a lot of things going on. But it sort of does mark the end of the golf season, certainly.
Did you hear his post-game interview? He said Harmon, he wanted just to sit on his John Deere tractor for a day and mow his lawn.
What a loser.
This is a guy... I know, I'm happy for him. He won the major. It's the kind of guy that he is.
But even if that's how he feels, don't say it. You sound like an asshole. Okay, just go do it. You don't have to say it.
I thought the quote he had about the Waggles was much worse.
What did he say?
They asked him about the Waggles, I thought, and he was like, I may have X amount of Waggles, but I'm waggling all the way to the bank or something like that. I'm waggling my way to 3 million, or they could wipe their waggle tears with 3 million. Crazy. Maybe it's a made up quote. I don't know. I saw it on a meme, so maybe it's made up. I don't know.
Yeah. If you saw it on a meme, I'm guessing it's fake.
You to the next segment.
All right, Mikey V, you look that up and we'll move on. This might be the first time I'm actually extremely excited to talk about a soccer topic, but man, what's going on in soccer right now is super exciting. Obviously, there's the big story, which we'll get to, but Mbappe, $1 billion, 1 year offer. I mean,
was it for 1 year?
I believe it was 1 year. Yeah, one offers $1 billion.
Oh my God. These Saudis are becoming a problem, man. Like, you know, I mean, good for Mbappe to say no, but at what point do you jeopardize your integrity and just say, fuck it, 1 year, I'm a billionaire, I never have to work again. My family's future family, they're all set for life. I mean,
it's a proposal that includes $332 million transfer fee.
He turned it down.
Paid to PSG. and a 776 million. Then his salary is 776 million.
He turned it
that
down,
all adds
right?
up.
He turned it down.
Was it
he
official that he had turned it down?
Yeah,
I'm not sure if it was.
I to my understanding, he turned it down. So this is two Saudi offers
good.
That are slapped in the face, and this is the greatest thing that could happen for soccer. It really is. Messi and Mbappe holding their grounds on this is the greatest thing that could happen. And obviously, you saw, I mean, I've never
seen. I hope Ronaldo just fucking flies into the dust and we never hear this guy again, man.
Yeah. I and then to see what Messi did for his debut.
Unbelievable. Exciting.
That was, you couldn't even write that. When I saw it, I didn't even believe it was real. I didn't. Yeah, I know. I saw the two last night.
But
I couldn't even believe that first goal in this first game. Like, that's not
game-winning goal, right?
I don't think people that don't watch soccer, let me explain something to you, and I don't claim to be the world's foremost soccer authority. I don't. But a free kick from the top of the penalty area, a little bit beyond, maybe 10 yards beyond, 5 yards beyond the penalty area, like, there's maybe, like, four or five guys on the planet that you could say, listen, this has got a real chance. It's always a real chance with these guys. But even when they do it, Ronaldo, Mbappe, Messi, in his day, Pirlo, some of those guys, it doesn't happen. Like, that's not like a regular thing. And I think American fans, like, I really hope that they understood how absolutely preposterous, number one, the kick was, but number two, in that moment on top of it, that was such a fucking amazing moment in sports. I had to post it on my fucking story because it was incredible.
With you, Mike. I agree. It was a surreal moment when I saw the clip. Yes. It kind of gave me chills. It really did. But
It did.
It gave me chills.
The commentator did a great job.
Yeah, he did. He totally... It's awesome. But I have to say this
really
one
cool.
thing. I have to say this one thing, and then I got to piss like a racehorse and I'll let you guys, the real soccer expert, continue on this. But him playing in the MLS at this point is like me playing in a T-ball league, okay?
I agree.
And if you don't think I'm going to smoke those seven-year-olds, dude, I'm going to have 10 home runs, okay,
those
guys.
This is like This is like when Cosmo Kramer did the karate, but he did karate with the kids, 10-year-old kids. And he's just beating up the
100% right.
Yeah, a little bit. But
I don't disagree with that at all.
Yeah, but I mean, but to follow it up, then did you see the guy, what was it, yesterday or maybe 2 days ago? He gave the game-winning assist to this kid. And he scored the game-winning goal, but it was Messi who gave him the assist. Like, he gave him the pass. And it was like, this guy was, like, crying because he was like, I never in my entire life did I ever think I'd be getting let alone an assist from Messi, but a game-winning assist from Messi. I mean, it was awesome. I mean, the run continues, but it was unbelievable.
I hope that the only thing I hope more than anything is that Messi coming to MLS translates to MLS perhaps growing more in popularity, but more importantly than that, Joe, the quality of MLS perhaps escalating, and maybe homegrown players like a Christian Pulisic, who is a fan of the program, obviously, saw me break the burger challenge. He knows champions when he sees one. No, but in all seriousness, to keep a guy like that in an MLS team rather than seeing him go to a Chelsea, just to see a homegrown talent like that say, look, it's going to take guys like me to stay here, bite the bullet, and play for – because they're not going to get compensated the same until – and the ratings aren't going to be the same and the size of the stadiums aren't going to be the same.
They still have the money.
Until they start staying and building and attract some players from outside, from Europe and from South America – And they get them to America, to North America, to actually play for these MLS teams. And Ticket, I was saying to Joe, what I was hoping the Messi deal would do more than anything is grow MLS. And I mean that in the sense of keeping homegrown talent from the United States, attracting talent from outside the United States to eventually stimulate the MLS economy into being able to grow into bigger stadiums, bigger television ratings, bigger contracts that will make it a legitimate league like La Liga, like Premier League, but the English Premier League, or Bundesliga. It's not there yet.
They have a long way to go.
I don't know if it ever will be. I don't know if it ever will be. It probably won't. But I would love to see it stimulate and try and be the spark for that change in MLS.
I tell you what, at the very least, I hope that the MLS will be the league that players on the downswing of their career go to rather than the Saudi Arabian league. At the very fucking least.
Tough, because you know what? The Saudis are just
all. They have all that money. I understand that. But I'm saying it is definitely a step in the right direction. But I don't know if that will ever get to that point, Mikey V. Just because the history, it'd be like having a European football club to compensate and contend with the NFL. It's just, it's never, I don't know if it's ever going to get to that. I think you can build it up. I think you can get it to be a prominent or respectable league that other people don't like dismiss and will actually like credit for being somewhat, you know, of a high level caliber of soccer. But I just don't think that you can ever with the history that these clubs have, you look in the Bundesliga with teams like Bayern Munich, or you look at Manchester United and Chelsea and Liverpool and Tottenham in the Premier League. These teams have been around for some of them close to 100 years. That they have so much prominence and money and dominance. It's going to be really hard to achieve what Mikey V said. Now I hope that, you know, I'd love that to happen eventually. I just think you're so far away, but this is definitely a step in the right direction, having one of the best ever to play still pretty much not in his prime, but he's still one of the best players in the world. And he's there and he's helping draw attention to the soccer. And I think that that's really important for North America. It's such a great sport that I think people really don't really pay much attention to it. And I think that this is really beneficial, even just to help people become more aware of how great a game it is and to be more noticeable about it and to be more aware of it. You know, and I see now there's, you know, a lot of these friendly matches in Vegas, different places where they have some of these top end teams like Barcelona and Manchester United playing in North American soil just to showcase it. Cause I think there's so much opportunity for growth of the sport. And I think you get a guy like Messi playing, people start watching, you have guys like DJ Khaled on Instagram posting about it. It creates awareness and it's beneficial.
It could be very good timing. It could be very good timing because in a couple of years time, the World Cup is going to be on American soil. It's going to be on Canadian soil. It may be very, very ideal timing for this all to happen, because once World Cup comes back to the United States, first time since 1994, when Italy lost to Brazil, Roberto Baggio over the crossbar.
Oh, God. I'll never
forget that ever. It'll be the first time since 94 it's been back on American soil. That is going to create soccer fever in the United States. People are all going to pretend that they're the biggest soccer fan, whatever nationality you are, Italian, English, German, you know, any of the big teams that are going to be playing in the World Cup, that'll create a huge buzz, you know, Portugal and Brazil and forget it. That could be ideal timing. We'll see. But yeah, Joe, I would love to see it also, because it is a great game. It's a beautiful game. It's called the beautiful game for a reason. It is. But the problem is that in this country, it's a great game. It's not a beautiful game. When you watch these leagues, Bundesliga, La Liga, EPL, that's the beautiful game. And when you watch that and the quality and it's incredible. It really is to watch what those guys could do in those big tournaments, the World Cup, the Euro Cup. That's all quality sports.
Yeah, it probably won't happen. It probably won't ever be as big as the Premier League because of all the things that Joe said. But there is one thing that MLS offers that no other league could possibly offer, and that is the United States of America. That's a very, very desirable place to live for people all over the world. And if Messi sort of starts that standard and people come and see him and realize what a life you can have here in the United States, and not to mention he didn't just make a deal with Miami. He made a deal with Apple. And that could bring in a lot of other people making sponsorships with Adidas, with Nike, with all these. I mean, I'm sure they already do, but it's different in America. You get different exposure in America. And I think that could be another doorway in. So I agree with Joe. It probably won't ever happen just because of the history, at least as far as being bigger than the Premier League. But if it ever has a shot, I think some of those are some of the reasons why it might.
And especially America for these players that don't have Messi's money. A lot of these players that aren't getting paid a fraction of what Messi is getting paid, and they're playing in South America, they're playing in Europe, for those guys to come over here and see the quality of life. Because a guy like Messi, let's face it, a guy like Ronaldo, Mbappe, these guys, they could live in Botswana. And they could live like sultans, because they just have such an exorbitant amount of money. They could do what they could buy half the country. I mean, that's just the reality with the. But for the other guys, the you know, the 90%, 95% of these leagues that don't have that kind of money, the players I'm talking about, they're the ones that really should, that point ticket should open their eyes even more so, because those other guys, they're going to live like sultans. You put Lionel Messi on the North Pole, he's probably going to live, you know, like a billionaire. That just is what it is. But
America's a great place to become. America's a great place to become a mogul, which is what a lot of these. You're not just an athlete anymore. You're a mogul. You start your own business. Yes. It's,
you saw him and LeBron hugging before that game. Like LeBron, let me tell you, I don't want to go into LeBron.
Get into it.
I feel bad with the kid, bro. Like, that's something I can't right now. So he gets a pass.
Is he okay now?
He's okay.
Seems like he's all right.
Cardiac arrest, and you know, there's, I don't know why. I don't
did
know
he
how
get hit
it's
or did he fall or like.
I don't know how it happened. I know he went into cardiac arrest. I know he's recovering and he's doing fine. But as a dad, like, I would be fucking. LeBron's quote was actually one of the better quotes. He used two words to describe how he felt. And the one word, I forget what the other one was scared. Like, that would be like, if I had two words, if something ever happened to my kid like that, that would be the only thing. And to hear a guy like him admit that he was scared, because
he's
that's
a
it.
Top so LeBron, tier
I guess
prospect
he gets a pass
too.
This week. I'll go after LeBron once Bronny's made his full recovery. Then I'll go back on LeBron and how pathetic I thought it was that he came out and did the whole messy thing and how to make it. It just was, it was a vaudeville. It was a circus. He made it about him. He went on Instagram Live like it. But again, I'm not going to go in on LeBron. We'll leave it alone. I'm giving LeBron
all right.
A pass,
well, that,
I didn't
that,
like that.
That's a decent segue into our last topic before we get into who's the problem. Then viewer questions. We're running long on this one, so we'll make this one quick, especially since it's about basketball. Jaylen Brown, Supermax contract with the Celtics, making more than
highest paid player in the league.
Yeah, making more than Jason Tatum.
It is.
He's the highest paid player in the league.
I will go straight into the who's a problem segment from this.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
The Boston Celtics.
Well done.
The Boston Celtics management is a problem, because this guy is so fucking overpaid. It is not even, he's not even the number one superstar on his team.
On your
team. He was nowhere to be found during the playoffs. The guy was a shell of himself. He was the biggest flop and the biggest disappointment for the Celtics in the playoffs. Came up smaller than ever. There's no real designated
role. Somebody lost a lot of money on the Celtics on the playoff runs.
There's no designated role for him. He's not the number one guy. He's not the guy who gets the ball all the time. Nope. So I thought they were going to try to trade him and bring in somebody like Damian Lillard or a designated scorer or something. This guy is so overpaid, man. I'm done.
I wonder what Saquon thinks about the Jaylen Brown deal.
What a joke. The NBA is becoming a bona fide joke that you could be a ball boy and you're making $5 million a year at this point. It's an absolute atrocity. It's a joke. There are people who are out there fucking working their balls off day in, day out, grinding, construction workers, fucking people work for the government, all this shit, and they don't see a dime. And these guys are allowed to take nights off. They're allowed to fucking, you know, low management.
Go ahead.
This guy's not even the number one player on the team, and he's the number one highest paid player in the league. It's an atrocity.
Fuck him. Good.
No, I like Jaylen Brown, but that's a joke.
I like Jaylen Brown, man. That was the best. That whole rant, and then I like Jaylen Brown. That was perfect.
No, that was perfect. Thank you. That was so good. So
Mikey.
Good. No.
Mikey.
Yeah, no, Jaylen Brown, listen, I think Joe's best point was at the very beginning of that rant, and I thought it was a tremendous rant. You're not even the best player on your team, and you're getting a Supermax deal. You're not even the best player on your team. And now this guy's going to make more money than Steph Curry He's going to get paid more than Nikola Jokic. Like,
it's a joke.
I mean, this is just like, it's just fucking. Now, what do they do with Tatum next year? When Tatum's got to get Supermax. How is that going to work?
Does.
They just paid Kristaps fucking Porzingis. What are they paying him? $30 million, whatever they're paying him.
What a joke.
I just don't understand. I what was this guy? He wasn't going to play unless he got a Supermax deal? Was that really the
He wasn't even he was worth it. I thought they were going to trade the guy.
I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know the ins and outs of the basketball economy and the structure of positional value and the salary structure as well as I know the NFL. So I'm not going to pretend to sit here and say I know. But all I know is that if you're not the best player on your own team, I don't understand how you get a Supermax contract. That to me is boggling. And is he even a top? Is he a top 10 player in the NBA?
No.
He's close. He's close.
No, he's not.
Okay.
Would you put him over Steph Curry?
No.
Would you put him over?
No, that's top one. That's top one. Okay. So, of course not.
Can I keep going? Would you put him over Giannis?
No.
No.
Would you put him over Jason Tatum?
No.
No.
Jokic?
Would you put him over Jokic?
No.
Would you put him? I would even say, would you put him over Jimmy Butler?
I would.
No.
I wouldn't. And Jimmy Butler's not even close.
How about tickets guy?
What about
Embiid? No, but he's like a 9-10, possibly 9-10. I said he's close. I said he's like a 9-10, 12, 13 guy. He's close. So he does deserve a lot of money.
So you're telling me. John Morant. Would you put him over John Morant?
No.
Would you put him over Devin Booker?
No.
Would you put him over Kevin Durant?
No.
Would you? I could go for 15 to 20 picks that you wouldn't put them over.
I don't know. I don't think you could get to 20. I don't think you could get to 20. You've named it.
I'll go top 20 players in the NBA and I'll rattle them
off. Oh, he's going to look them up, though. Okay. But the point is, he's a very good. The point is, he's a very good player. He deserves a lot of money. His time was now.
Just not a super.
His time was now.
I wouldn't even put him over Carl Anthony Towns. I wouldn't put him over.
I don't think
Anthony Edwards. I wouldn't put him over. There's so many guys.
Would you put him over LeBron right now?
I want him.
Yeah,
LeBron,
I would put him over LeBron.
You would. Okay.
But here's the thing, Mikey.
The twilight of his career.
Yes.
Anthony Davis.
What happened with Jaylen Brown is exactly what you were talking about with quarterbacks earlier, in that we either got to fucking pay this guy because of where the market's going right now. It's just unfortunate. We don't want to pay him this much, but we got it if we want to keep him. Or we let him go and he goes to the Miami Heat.
The NBA is interesting because there's only five guys allowed on the field of play, the court, at one time for one team, and the rosters are just so much smaller. So it's very interesting because for you to be a starter in the NBA, obviously you're a very, very small fraction of human being that's on the face of the earth. You just are. I mean, there's 53 guys on a football roster. I don't know how many are allowed on an NBA active roster that could dress for a night at a game. I don't even know what that number is. I have no idea. Is it 10? Is it 12? I don't know what it is.
12. It's less probably. Okay. Yeah, maybe 10.
So I understand that the value obviously is higher. There's less guys to pay. I understand also that the NBA, thanks to these TV contracts, they're swimming in fucking money. Adam Silver is the league is swimming in money. There's no question about that. So I get that also. I just, again, I come back to, this guy isn't even the best player on his team. And if you're going to tell me that Tatum's going to get a Supermax, and now you're going to tell me this guy is worth a Supermax, then you're telling me that the Boston Celtics have two of the top 10 players in the NBA, possibly higher.
Tatum is the top 10 player.
Tatum's a top five guy. Or French.
He's on the cusp.
And Jaylen Brown's a top 15 guy. Let's call him top 15. I'll certainly call him top 15.
I have no problem with him getting paid.
Faced with the same thing as far as we either let him go and he goes to the Heat next year and they're going to destroy us, or we pay him this fucking money.
You're telling me you couldn't pay him a max contract, but they had to give him more money than any other player in the league?
Based on the – hey, Justin Herbert's paid more than anyone right now too. It's just right now. Justin Herbert, I wouldn't draft Justin Herbert in the top 10 if you put all the players in a draft right now. Justin Herbert's not in my top 10. I wouldn't
this
draft
to
him.
Me, this to I me is know. Like when Joe right now.
If you do that in the NFL, if you do it, you could pick anybody in the NFL and you're just doing a draft. I don't know how anyone doesn't go quarterback with their first pick. Unless you're getting to the point where the quarterbacks are mediocre.
I would go with. There are there are ends that I would go with, defensive players.
Yeah, I would too. Once the quarterback hurt is severely thinned, I would.
You would start with QB.
If Justin Herbert was there, I'd take him over any defensive end in the league. Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
What about I would. Jefferson or Justin Herbert?
I'd take Justin Herbert. I would take Justin. You need the quarterback. You have to have one.
But there's
Here's the better question. Tell me what quarterbacks are left. What quarterbacks are left in this draft?
Okay, where would you put him? Where would you quarterbacks?
I think he's a top 10 quarterback.
Well, he's a top 10 guy for sure. Of course he is. He's a top 10 quarterback, but is he a top 5 guy?
Well, no, because Mahomes, Burrow, Josh Allen,
Aaron Rodgers.
Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, I think.
Jalen Hurts is definitely up there now.
Yeah, it's 5 already.
Tua is healthy and Tua is on the field, but Tua can't stay healthy.
What? You would put Tua if he could stay healthy?
Tua is a top 10 quarterback if he's healthy.
Would you rather?
I believe that.
Joe,
this guy was a front runner for MVP before he got hurt.
Would you rather take Lamar Jackson or would you rather take Tua Tagovailoa?
Both healthy and you give me
I'm taking Lamar.
You give me Lamar and Tua in the Miami offense. I'm taking Lamar. Yes.
Lamar every way.
What are we talking about?
Deshaun Watson is probably a top 10 guy still. Deshaun Watson's probably a top 10 guy still. In my opinion.
Talent wise, for sure.
The NFC West, nobody, right? Nobody.
No, not Geno Smith. Not
not Purdy. No. Not what about
Russell
Murray
Wilson.
Anymore.
What about Russell
Kyler
Wilson?
Murray. Kyler Murray.
Not after last year.
No, last year sucked.
Not after last year. It gets thin very quickly. It gets thin quicker than you.
Would you take Trevor Lawrence or would you take Tua?
I would take Trevor
Lawrence over Tua.
Yeah, I would
over
too.
Over Tua, 100%.
He's a younger guy, more promise.
I'm going to say this, and it's very unfortunate with Tua Tagovailoa, because you can't say injuries aside, because injuries have become the definition of Tua's career since he had that hip surgery, where he had to get the hip string surgery or whatever weird surgery he had to get when he left Alabama. It's defined his career moving forward. This guy is just, it's unfortunate. His career has been completely derailed and marred by injury. If this guy was a healthy guy, I think that Tua Tagovailoa would be a top 10 quarterback with a bullet in the league every single year. I really believe that.
With a bullet. Oh my God.
With the bullet ticket. You saw what this guy was like at Alabama when he was healthy. You saw what he did this year when he was healthy. Now, the problem is you can't say that because that's all hypothetical, because I do think this year, probably within the first 5 games, he's going to get concussed again. And what is going to happen with Miami once that happens? What are they going to do at that point when you saw this guy like convulsing on the field of play against the Cincinnati Bengals last year when he got hit on that play and he was, you know, his fingers locked up and all that scary shit? What happens this year when he gets another head injury?
Well, they're gonna do what all teams do, and they're gonna get Teddy Bridgewater. That's what they're gonna do.
They already have.
I know they'll bring him back, but Mikey V is like me with Trevor Lawrence with Tua. I mean, I'm a Trevor guy. I think he's gonna be a future Hall of Famer.
I think Trevor is tremendous. I don't think Tua is gonna be a future Hall of Famer because I don't think he's gonna stay healthy.
Yeah, Joe used to break my balls. He thought he was
Trevor,
not good.
Trevor's a player, man.
Well, I think he's come around.
Trevor's a player.
I'm shocked at this Tua thing, man. Even if he was healthy, injuries aside,
injuries. He could distribute the rock.
That
when he's
offense
healthy, bro.
Is unbelievable. A lot of his passes came within 10 yards, and those guys
ran to Tyreek Hill, and he just
all
runs
day long, or to Jalen Waddle. I mean, this guy. I don't know. You could be right. I just didn't see enough. But you watch.
Here's the
more
thing.
Football
I don't
than
think
anyone,
he'll
but...
ever be. I don't think you'll ever be able to see because I don't think he'll ever be healthy. And I think there's going to be serious controversy and conversation when he gets another head injury. When he gets another concussion, it's going to get to the point where. This guy almost died on. Well, this guy almost looked like he was dying on the football field last year. At what point are the doctors going to tell him, if you get another head hit, we don't know what's going to happen to you. You may die. Like, is that going to be the point with Tua? Because I'm not so sure it's not. I'm not so sure that's not going to happen. Not that he's going to die. That doctors aren't going to tell him, listen, you cannot take another hit. You simply can't. It's over. It's done. That's what I fear for Tua. That's what I fear for.
We'll have to see. Hopefully he doesn't, but I'm sure he will. Everyone at that position ends up getting one way or another. But let's move into who's a problem. Joey D already gave us his. It's a damn good one. Mikey V, who's your problem?
Joe's not going to like this one. I'm sorry. The GM, Brian Gutekunst. Is that how you say his last name, Joe?
Yeah, he's
of the Green Bay Packers. This guy's a problem. This guy's a problem. He's been a problem. I didn't like the way he drafted for years when they had Aaron in his prime. They neglected getting this guy any help on offense, really, at wide receiver. And now you learn today, finally, the contract details come out from the New York Jets that Aaron Rodgers, this same Aaron Rodgers, he wanted $50 million last year from the Packers, the same Aaron Rodgers, who wasn't going to do this, was contemplating retirement, was going to do that, took a $35 million pay cut to play for the New York Jets rather than play with the Green Bay Packers. And that's not Aaron Rodgers' fault.
No.
There is something wrong with this GM in Green Bay. And if he's going to continue going down the road, he's going to go. This team, Joe, and I hate to say it because you guys have been very good for a long, long time. You've had back-to-back Hall of Fame quarterbacks play for you. You've been watching Hall of Fame quarterback play since you were a kid. This guy is a problem, man. That is a terrible look. If I'm a Packer fan, I have to be absolutely livid with management and say to myself, how in the fuck do we let a first ballot Hall of Famer with a bullet going away, MVP of the league, top five quarterback every year, one of the best to ever play the position? I think Rodgers is a top five quarterback of all time. I think he's top five all time quarterback. How do you let this guy leave your fucking building under any circumstances?
You're not wrong.
I would have let him. You can't. You can't.
You're not wrong. This is why I went on a tirade when they drafted Jordan Love. It showed no confidence in Rodgers, the guy who gave you could have your
qualms about Joe. You've got to draft somebody eventually. I don't even have a problem with that.
He went on and won the MVP that fucking year.
Well, I have a problem with where they drafted.
And then he won it the year after.
I think you should say that, Joe. You should clarify that. You have a problem with where they drafted Jordan.
They drafted the first fucking round.
Yes,
and they had
that's the issue. Quarterback back-to-back
MVPs.
That's the issue.
What are you fucking doing?
Yeah,
and they could have drafted Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
We would have had a fucking Super Bowl, and instead they're drafting Jordan Love so we could sit on the bench and watch our quarterback win back-to-back MVPs, and we don't go anywhere. It's a joke.
He's not wrong.
I did the same.
He's not wrong.
Man.
That's the problem with the
problem.
Jordan Love pick.
And listen,
that's
here's the thing.
Because you could draft a quarterback. Listen, teams, the Patriots drafted quarterbacks when Tom Brady was winning Super Bowls. They were drafting
quarterbacks. Draft them in the third round. I don't care.
But they got to draft. You cannot draft them in the first round.
They traded up to draft this guy 15th overall or whatever the hell it was. I can't even think about it. It steams me up. And by the way, he's going to stink this year. But that's not the point. The point here is whether you like Aaron Rodgers, you don't like Aaron Rodgers, he's a diva, he's this, he's that. It is undeniable what he did for that Packers franchise. He gave them a chance every game,
every year.
He put them on the map. He made them a contender.
He's a magician.
To not even tell him that you're going to draft a quarterback. If they had talked to him and said, we see this guy, he's got a lot of potential, they didn't even tell him. They were behind his back. They drafted up, got a quarterback, and then Rodgers spat in their face and said, you want a guy in the first round? You don't believe me? I'm going to win back-to-back MVPs.
Joe's not wrong.
I don't blame him for taking a pay cut.
No,
he wasn't going to win.
He's not wrong.
He wasn't going to win with the Packers. They weren't going to win.
A lot of my anger over the years has been directed at Aaron Rodgers, and justifiably so, because he single-handedly slayed my team every single fucking year. He killed them. He was a bear killer. He's the biggest bear killer. Favre has nothing. Favre has nothing on Aaron Rodgers when it comes to the Bears. Nothing. Rodgers really was I joke with the we I own you shit, but he did. He flat out did. He owned them. This guy did things on the football field that were impossible, throws that were improbable, impossible. And this GM has the audacity and the hubris. That's the word, the hubris, the ultimate ego to sit there and think that he constructed this winning formula?
Yeah.
No. These teams were mediocre. Aaron Rodgers was that good and is that good. And if he stays healthy this year and the Jets don't fuck it up, you're going to see just how valuable this guy is. And that team is going to make a legitimate fucking run in the playoffs. Disagree. And they are going to, he is going to look to shove it right up the fat ass of Brian Gutekunst or whatever his name is.
If you didn't see him throwing the pigskin to Garrett Wilson, I mean, dude, you want to talk about a guy to draft up this
year? How about Sauce icing him up for my boy?
Yeah, that was sick.
Al the Jeweler, funny enough, did me and my wife's wedding bands. He did our wedding rings. Al the Jeweler, good guy. Route 46, Fairfield, New Jersey. Al the Jeweler. Shout out Al the Jeweler. Listen, that was one of the coolest things. But it looks to me like this is such a different Rodgers, bro. Like, He's showing up to everything and looks like he's having the time of his fucking life. And I get it. New York is a much different place than Green Bay, Wisconsin. I get that. But like, what the fuck was this organization doing this whole time?
Like, and by the way,
it looks like the Slim Reaper too. Guy cut
a lot. He looks a little cut up. He looks a little cut up in the bicep. I see a little vein popping out of that bicep.
Are you ready for a hot take? You ready for a hot take, Mikey V?
Yeah, I'd love one.
Joey D? I love a hot take. I love the guy. I really do.
Don't tell me you don't think the Jets are making the playoffs.
No, I love the guy. I love him. Okay. I love him to death.
Yeah. What?
The Bills. They're not making the playoffs.
Oh!
The Bills aren't making the playoffs.
Yeah, well, you know what?
I hope they do. I'm rooting for Josh. I love Josh.
By the way,
I don't think he's making the playoffs.
Bob is about to slam a bet, and he told me the line, the Bills to make the playoffs. You know what the line is, Mikey V?
It's got to be minus 700.
No.
You know what it is? It's minus 200. The Bills to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean,
minus 200?
Yeah, Bob's going to lose all that money. Bob's going to lose all that money because they ain't making it.
Some cameos.
Aaron Rodgers and Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins and the New York Jets.
Yeah.
Well, there's three wild cards. There's two wild cards.
Two wild cards.
Isn't there three
two,
now?
Two wild cards.
There used to be one. Now there's two.
Oh, that's right. There's two.
But the Bills.
There's two. But okay, who do you take? You take the Jets. You think the Jets win the division?
I think the Jets and the Dolphins, if two.
One of them does.
So let's go through Dolphins. It. Jets win the AFC East.
Yes.
AFC South is a crapshoot. I mean, that's the
Jacksonville.
AFC West, you have to go with the Chiefs.
I'm going to take the Chiefs again.
AFC North, I think you go with the Bengals.
Yep.
Then you have out of that, you still have the Bills.
The Chargers.
You have
the Steelers. The Steelers are going to be decent.
Yep. How about the Ravens?
Ravens,
absolutely.
I don't think Josh is right.
And the Broncos, by the way, the Broncos, really? Aside from what ticket thinks, no. The Broncos are going to be pretty good this year too.
You don't think Josh is ready for the season ticket?
Bro, he's been golfing left and right. I love the guy. I don't want to shit talk him. I think he's fantastic. If anyone can overcome not preparing, it's Josh.
I'm going to say this. I don't disagree with Ticket. I'm not going to say it's because Josh is not ready, because I don't know. I don't know him as closely as you guys do. I only spoke to him that one time. I don't know him like that. I'm just going to say this. I just think the Bills as a team, they may have peaked already. I think they may have peaked already as a team. I think they may have peaked and their window was maybe two seasons ago. Now, that's a little crazy considering Allen is still in his prime. He's still got a lot left. I just feel like they had the opportunity, and now the AFC has only gotten better, and it's only gotten better, and there's only better quarterbacks now, and you got Lawrence, and you got Burrow, and you got Herbert, and now you got Aaron Rodgers, and if Tua stays healthy, that's another one. This conference is so much better, number one, than the NFC, that it's just the AFC is going to be a complete fucking bloodbath, and it's going to be last man standing. He's got to stay healthy. Josh cannot start trying to hurdle linebackers and safeties. He can't do that. He can't do it if he wants to win. I know he wants. Wait until the playoffs, Josh. Wait until you got games that are like must win to get into the playoffs when you want to start risking life and limb to win a game. Because if you do it in the first month or 2 months of the season, it's going to come back and bite you. It's going to come back and bite you. Don't do it.
Here's what else I'll say, because I'll believe in this and I'm going to run it through the entire season. But here's what I expect to happen after the first 2 weeks. Jets will be 0-2. Everyone's going to hit the panic button. The team is trying to learn how to play together. They're trying to figure out the chemistry. They're trying to learn how Aaron Rodgers and that offense is going to work. They're going to go 0-2. They're going to lose their first two games. Everyone's hitting the panic button. ESPN, it doesn't work. What a bust. All this. Jets are going to win that division.
Hey, listen, Jets first two games, though, I got to see before I agree with the 0-2 start. I got to see who their first
poor start.
Bills at home, Cowboys on the road. Two games.
Oh,
0-2.
Nostradamus, aka Tick.
That's my prediction. No,
that's awareness. Tell you what, their schedule is
bruiser.
Fucking you ready for this? Bills game one. Cowboys on the road, divisional game against the Patriots at home, which is never
easy
for
them. They'll win that.
They should, but I'm just saying it's a divisional game. It's a divisional game. Then they get the Chiefs after that game. Then
Are they at home?
They're at home, but they're playing the Super Bowl champs. Then they go on the road to Denver. Mile High sucks early in the year. Then they have the Eagles after that. Yeah. Then the Giants. This schedule is brutal for the Jets. I didn't realize it was that tough. I tell you what, I may have to reconsider. That's a tough schedule. I tell you what, though. You're going to get Aaron Rodgers against you're going to get Rodgers,
Mahomes.
You're going to get Rodgers Allen game one. You're going to get Rodgers Prescott game two. Then you get Rodgers Mahomes in another two games. Then you get Rodgers Russell Wilson. Then you get Rodgers against Tick's boy. This is an incredible.
It's going to be awesome.
Jets are going to be Sunday night football a lot this season. They're going to be must watch TV.
Bob continues to say they're going to be the worst team in the league.
He thinks they're going to stink.
He has to say that. I get that.
All right, we're running a little bit long here. I'll do a quick who's a problem, then we'll just do one question. There's a lot of fucking good questions. I think Mr. Anderson thought we weren't going to have much to talk about, but we made it happen. So my problem this week is a guy who, and I'm not here to talk about his issue with drugs in the past, his issues with the law in the past, his issues with women in the past, although I would call all of those things inappropriate. But what this man is doing now is he's getting involved with a lot of these running backs are trying to renegotiate the way the franchise tag works. They think that because they're on the low end of the spectrum of the franchise tag, they want to sort of renegotiate that, even though owners just did the whole franchise tag thing very recently. Now, this scumbag, Jim Irsay, this guy's a lowlife. This guy's a little piggy. This guy's a greedy.
We all went after upper management this week.
He is now calling what Jonathan Taylor, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, they all have a problem with the franchise tag. And all they're doing is voicing their opinion. Najee Harris, another guy, voicing their opinion about how they think that because they're on the low end of the pay scale with the franchise tag, they think it should be renegotiated. And I think that's a fair assessment. Jim Irsay is now calling that inappropriate. And I think this guy's a scumbag. I think he's always lived his life as a me guy. And you know what? At the end of the day, just leave it alone. Don't respond. This guy's addicted to Twitter and bad opinions and drugs. And this guy has he's a problem, man. And I'm sick of him. And he has got one of the very best running backs in the league. They're coming off a 4-win season. And he is refusing to pay this guy. And it's just about one of the only good things you got going for you. Everyone will talk about the offensive line. They've got a great offensive line. They've got some good pieces on defense. Jonathan Taylor is your offense as it stands today, and you don't.
Well, Pittman is very good.
You don't want to pay him.
Well, they drafted
Pittman too. Pittman's very good.
They think
they think they drafted their golden goose and Anthony Richardson out of Florida. That's what they're hoping.
We'll see. We'll
see.
That's
what they're hoping.
But just Jim says, just Jim Irsay's just got to shut his mouth. I'm sick of hearing about
it. He doesn't have a leg to stand on. When you're a guy like that, when you're a guy like that, you could very, when you're a man like that with the kind of stories and things that are attached to you, there's very few and far between situations where you're even allowed to use the word.
I know. Shocking that he's calling
that. I mean, like if a war starts and people commit war crimes, I think you're a green light to say inappropriate if you're Jim Irsay.
I agree.
But in negotiating a contract as a running back, you should probably just shut up. You should probably just not say anything.
All right, let's move on to viewer questions. We'll just do one. Maybe we'll do two, but we're running long on this one. But there's one I definitely wanted to get to. And this one comes from Mr. Anderson has a ton this week. These are all good ones, but we'll go with Cole. Cole asks, how does Bear Down Cuz make everything look so easy?
Bear down? I don't know what that means.
Joe, I don't know
offended.
Either.
Joe's offended by that question. Now, why is Joe? Joe should be like, you know what? He's my friend. He does make things look easy.
You make certain things look easy, but you don't make golf look easy.
No.
Cole thinks
so. I'm just saying, but yeah, actually, that's Joe. That's my answer. Actually, if you think I make things look easy, you should come and watch me on the golf course. You will see.
I will see, like eating, working out, being a stand-up dad, like all those things you make it look pretty easy. But golf never going to be easy for anyone to make it look like.
No. Yeah, that's I have to play more. I'm putting up a net. As soon as my yard is done, I'm putting up a net. Holly bought me one for Father's Day, so I can at least take some hacks every night, which I'm very excited about because it's just so hard for me to get out. But I don't make anything look easy. I think I make things look easy. You may perceive that I look easy, but that's only because anything I do in life, I'm a little older. I don't know how old Cole is. But you reach a point where if you're not going to put 100% all your heart into something, then it's not worth your time. So maybe what you see and what I put out there in social media world is only things that I enjoy and love. And if I'm doing those things like this show, like the Brilliantly Dumb Show, like content, anything that I do on my page, anything like that, that you have seen is because those are things that I believe are worth my time. And if it's worth my time, I make it look easy only because I'm putting forth my greatest possible effort. If you're not going to do that, it's not worth your time. And at almost 40 years old with two kids, a mortgage, a full-time job, everything I do, married, it's just not worth it. It's not worth it. So it's not that it's easy, Cole. It's not. Joking around, if you want to see something not easy, again, just follow me on the golf course one day and you'll say, okay, yeah, he don't make fucking nothing look easy, this guy.
So there you go. That's a great answer. There you have it.
Cole. I thought it was a very good answer.
That was a great answer. Yeah.
We got to take another question, though. That's another one.
Yeah. That's right. I see what Cole's saying, though. I can see it. I'm often baffled that you do all the things that you do. If I ever have a second to breathe, I'm on the couch watching TV.
Love of the
you're
game,
doing
it. Tick.
There you go. I guess I don't love the game.
My couch time. Listen, do not think that I don't get my, I get my couch time on the weekends. Dom will go.
Football season.
Yeah, 8 o'clock, I'll get down to bed on a Friday or Saturday night. I'll sit on the couch until I pass out. I'll stay there until 2-3 o'clock in the morning until I pass out. So I get my time. We got to take another question.
Yeah, we'll do two more because one's going to be a real quick one. One will be a real quick one, but this one's a little longer. Joshua Hester says, if you could have dinner with one athlete, who would it be and why? He's a big fan. Keep it up. Joey D, let's start with you.
One athlete. It's always tough, man, because there's so many guys – I'm gonna say, damn man, I don't know one athlete. That's really, really hard. Like current athlete or like of all time.
I think if they're retired, that's fine too. I think if it's a retired guy, that's as long as they're alive. I think you should pick a live man.
Oh, it's gotta be an alive guy.
Well, maybe not. I don't know.
I was gonna go a dead guy.
Oh, go dead guy.
You know what I'd go with? I'd go with Muhammad Ali. I think Muhammad Ali would be awesome to sit down with and just to hear his stories about how he had to, like, you know, back then when racism and all that shit was about, not to say that it isn't now, but like trying to be like one of the most prominent Black American athletes and to dominate in the extent that he did in a sport that was, you know, was grueling and tough. I think it'd be a fascinating dinner to sit down and hear that guy talk.
That's a great one.
Good one. Yeah. Mikey V?
I think I would pick, and there's so little about him out. Not that there's little about him. His life is well documented. I just think like he died before the time of social media and before media in general, where some of these older guys, actually you hear a lot from them. Like I'll give an example, like a Mike Ditka, let's say. Mike Ditka, you know, he played a lot longer ago, but he's been involved in media so much that you've seen him around, you've heard him talk. A guy that you never, like, there's no recent footage of, and he was such a polarizing figure, and he's certainly one of the greatest players in the history of his sport and in all sports, and they named awards after him. I'd love to have dinner with Walter Payton. Walter Payton, to me, would be a guy that I would love to just sit down with and really have a conversation with. Everybody that's ever dealt with him, you always hear about, they just say that he was just a different type of person. Like he was just a different, and the Man of the Year award in the NFL is named after Walter Payton.
Yeah.
So I my pick would definitely be Walter Payton's sweetness.
Okay.
Who would yours be, Dick?
I'm going to go with Manny Ramirez.
Outfielder. Get the fuck out of here, Ticket. Are you fucking, Joe gives up a historic figure. I give the Man of the Year award guy, and you give me
what do I have
Manny
to...
shitbag Ramirez.
What do I have to pick a historic figure?
It was like
I
a slap in the face. Is it because I'm a Yankee fan? Ticket?
I think Manny being Manny, he's a kook. If I'm talking about the dinner experience, sure, would it be fascinating to talk to some of these guys about their greatness? But I already talked to you guys. Okay, I'm hearing about greatness from you guys. I know enough people about greatness. I want a good time. Manny Ramirez is going to show.
You think Manny would be a good time?
Oh, are you kidding me? He had a good time.
He had a good time
at his job. He's going to have a great time at the
bar.
Lenny Dykstra.
Daryl Strawberry. I tell you, it'd be a good time.
You're taking it too far. Those guys are having too much
Allen
fun.
Allen Iverson would have been a good time.
Would he, though? I don't know.
That guy would have bought you every side on the fucking menu at a steakhouse. He would have bought you the whole thing.
Reggie White.
I think we run with different crowds, me and AI. I love him. But I think Manny and I could
Randall Cunningham.
Cut it up. That's a good one. Yeah, okay. I had to pick one. I was on the spot. I picked
We're taking Manny Ramirez.
It's the pick. Yeah, right. I think he'd be a fantastic time. I mean, that's all I'm looking for at a dinner with him. All right, great question, Josh. And the last one's going to come from Diaben. Someone's got to drink 5 I'm going to change it to 10. Someone's got to drink 10 beers to save Ticket's life. You want Mikey V or you want Perez? Joey D, who do you want to save your life to drink 10 beers?
Oh, go with Mikey V.
Yeah.
I saw, I love Perez with all my heart. But I saw him in this recent challenge. it was a struggle, man.
Perez?
Perez, yeah.
It was a struggle,
challenge,
man.
This
was a donut eating challenge. Okay. You thought it would have been right up his wheelhouse. The guy's body's been through the ringer. And you know what? And it's no fault of his own. He's traveling everywhere. He's golfing nonstop. He needs a rest. He's got a lot of miles on him. And here's the thing. I don't doubt that Perez could drink 10 beer. But I just know that when Mikey V has to put it all on the line, I saw this on the Burger Challenge. When this guy puts his mind to something and say, if your life was on the line, Ticket, he had to do it. I feel very confident that Mikey V would go to the point of almost dying with the food.
The original question was really 5. Ticket changes to 10. If it was 5, I would add those. I don't need to do it to save your life. I'll do it just to shake your hand. I'll drink 5 beers. But 10 beers. Listen, I'll 10 beers will be gone. There's no time limit on this. I'll do 10. I mean, that's child's play. If you set a 30 rack in one sitting, then we're talking. Okay, I really got to start training for that. That's something that I have. But 10 beers, 10 pints of beer. Come on, bro. Especially if it's like a Coors Light or something like that. Come on.
Perez fell short on this last challenge we did, and he turned to all of us and he said, I'm a fake fat guy because he doesn't eat or drink that much. He just eats and drinks over a very, very long period of time. It never stops, really. Once he starts, he never stops. But it's not like he's going to a bar And within half an hour, he's 16 shots in and 5 beers in. He's not that kind of guy.
We need to preserve Perez at all costs. He needs to be cryogenically frozen for like a month where he can just heal in the ice and settle in the ice. And then we reanimate his tissue like in Austin Powers when they melt him down. And he comes back and he's got the hair covering him everywhere. And that's what we need to do with Nick to make sure that he's okay.
Yeah. All right, boys. That was a good one. That might be our longest episode yet. Yeah. That was a lot of fun. I mean, that's what happens. That's what you can expect from the Sportsman as football continues to roll in. Oh, I mean, that's everyone's favorite sport, so but that's great. Mikey's wheelhouse. So that's what me and Joe love to talk about the most. So as we creep closer to the regular season here, we're going to be getting some longer episodes and we're going to be talking a lot of football. So stay tuned. Like, comment, subscribe to the YouTube and to the Instagram. Field your questions into that DM on the Instagram page, and Mr. Anderson will get those questions to us and we'll answer them on the show. But till then, that's another edition of The Sportsman. You got Mikey V over there. You got Joey D down there. I'm the Big Ticket, and we will see you guys next week.